This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. And joining us today, as he does each and every week by way of the Locker Room app, is none other than the Athletics' Ali Khan Bijani. What's up, Ali Khan?
Hey guys, hey Jackson, how you guys doing?
I'm hanging in here. I wish we need to find a way to get the chat to, like, we need to have like seven people up on stage with us when we do the intro, and then just have everybody say what's up, and then I'll just kick everybody out. That way we get like a really loud, like boisterous welcome to the podcast.
We need to have an audio clip that we use, and like, you know, whenever we're starting the show, we can have us like, what's up guys, and it's just everybody from the audience saying what's up guys. So I think that's a good idea for the future.
I want that. I love the idea. But you know what that requires? That requires audience participation. So shout out to our audience here on Locker Room. You guys, we need participation. We need you guys to jump up on stage and chat with us and hang out. So please don't be afraid to do that. We've got a bunch of awesome topics we want to cover today, though. So if at any point, though, you want to jump in, you want to chime in, or you want to ask a question, please hit that speaker request button. I will do my best to pay attention to my phone as well as steer the show. It requires a lot of multitasking. It's a tall order, but I think I'm up for it. Let's go ahead and dive into the first topic, which we kind of teased last week. But we want to talk about these Christian Wood, Kelly Olynyk lineups and kind of some of what we've seen so far out of this. I don't want to call them a twin tower duo. I feel like we can't really do that, but it's been such a change of pace for the Rockets to go from running no centers last season to running conceivably two guys who are both centers in this year's lineup. So Ali Khan, first thing, with this lineup, with this kind of tandem duo between Wood and Olynyk, do you want to focus on what they bring to the table offensively first or defensively?
I think those are two separate conversations. Let's start with offensively first. Before I get started, Jackson, I want to ask you, you know, we obviously teased it last week. I think we've now had an 8-game sample size where both Christian Wood and Kelly Olynyk are playing. I'm curious, your initial thoughts on how they look, especially offensively?
Offensively, I think it's been great. I think they feed off of each other pretty well. I think we've seen some stretches where they've worked really, really well together. Olynyk is a really underrated passer. I had no idea what his passing game was like when he first became a Houston Rocket. And I think I just kind of underrated him as a player before he became a Houston Rocket, which I honestly might do with a lot of players across the NBA until they're wearing Rockets red. But that being said, I think that my main takeaway from them offensively, it's been nice. It's been great. Having some of the rebounding capabilities of two bigs in the game at the same time has been a nice welcome sight. But defensively, I've seen some issues, namely some miscommunications, them trying to find their way, you know, whether they switch, whether they don't switch, who's dropping, different things like that. And I think that's the area where, you know, they're still learning, they're still growing, trying to figure out how to work best together. And then also the fact that they haven't had any legit practice time to be able to iron out any of those kinks definitely isn't helping matters.
Yeah, you know, we'll get to the defense. I think it's important to discuss defense, but, you know, if we're discussing the Rockets, he is somebody who's going to give them shooting, somebody who's going to give them the ability to pass, you know, slip screens, roll to the rim, you know, be able to do everything a five can do offensively, except for the rim running, but allow you to have a diverse portfolio to go to, especially with your playbook. And what I mean by that is whenever you have guys like Kelly Olynyk on the floor with your starting center, it allows you to do a few things. So you can actually play pick and roll with both of those guys. And essentially you have two guys who, like I said, who can do both things a five can do offensively. But while having one guy put the pressure on the defense, you can have the other guy space the floor. And what I mean by that is, let's say Christian Wood is being defended by the starting center from the opposing team. Who's defending Olynyk? Probably a perimeter player. And you can run that sort of pick and roll with Olynyk. And when he's slipping to the rim or cutting to the rim, who's going to have the natural tendency to come over and help? The five man. That's going to be the natural helper on the floor since they're so used to being in the paint. That causes open opportunities for Christian Wood to either shoot the basketball, attack close under rotation, find somebody else. But it keeps the ball movement going from side to side. It puts the defense in a scramble situation and it allows you to play, as Silas talks about all the time, in a two-on-one situation where you are dictating where the ball goes and kind of get the offense moving. So that ideally, that is the setup the Rockets want to be in. They want to be in a situation where one is involved in a pick and roll, causing the help, and you have two guys who can and also who can attack switches. You know, for Kelly, he can attack switches by rolling to the rim, making great passes, kind of getting, you know, using his post-up moves to get inside and score. As Wood, you can have him also attack switches, but he's such a great off-threat as well, that ultimately you're putting the defense in a bind, and especially that five-man. If you put the five-man in a bind, you can essentially control the help coverages, and the Rockets are doing just that offense.
Talking about Wood and Olynyk here for a moment, obviously there's different types of rollers in the NBA, but in our limited sample size, Christian Wood, more athletic, can go over the top a little bit better. Kelly Olynyk, I mean, is there really a way to differentiate their role styles? Or, I guess, I hope you see where I'm trying to go with this question. Like, I don't want to say is one a better roller than the other, because I think that's a broad or vague question. Do you see where I'm kind of going with it? Maybe you can be more illuminating than me on this.
Yeah, I see where you're going with this. And I think what I'm going to talk about more so is how they're attacking switches. Now, when they run pick and roll, you're seeing both with a purpose look to attack switches. When it comes to Christian Wood, he is somebody who is trying to get the ball. There's not necessarily a play call for him in offense, which is that whole story last week about a quote that Steven Silas gave me, Christian Wood gave me, about, you know, not having a play set up for him. He wasn't talking about that he never has a play for him. He's more so talking about the fact that he's able to create his own offense because he's so talented. He can read the defense, you know, in transition, you know, find a switch, or in pick and roll, find a switch, you know, get easy inside deep positioning and score. And so when you're looking at Christian Wood, he's able to do that. Kelly Olynyk can do the same thing. I think one thing that Kelly excels at even more is his ability not only to get into the paint, but have a soft touch and also pass it out to the perimeter. He's made some excellent passes, even though they may not be assists. They're maybe hockey assists, but he's made some excellent passes just by getting the ball inside and finding an open shooter. And so both are very similar, but also both are very different. Wood is a very good hard rim running big. I think Kelly excels even more off of slips and slashes to the rim.
That's exactly the answer that I was looking for, but I was unable to phrase it in an accurate way. So I appreciate that, Ali Khan, for salvaging what I attempted to try and dig out of you information wise. And then I guess the other one is just my thing about Kelly Olynyk and how well he's played so far this year for the Rockets is one of the reasons that I want to see him back coming, you know, this offseason. I'd love to see the Rockets try and retain him in some capacity moving forward, is because I think that he and Christian Wood obviously work well together, but I also think that Christian Wood has a lot that he can learn from Kelly Olynyk. Some of the passing, some of the inside game, just there, you know, he's a good veteran presence to have to help teach Christian Wood as he progresses, as he grows into his own. And so that's an area that, especially you mentioned the passing, right, from Kelly Olynyk, some of his court vision, some of the passes out, the hockey assists. That's something that I'd really like to see more of from Christian Wood. And we've seen moments of it where he, you know, catches the ball in the middle of the court or starts to drive in and he makes the right read or the right pass to the right man. But I think that's an area of his game that he could absolutely work on a little bit better. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think one area for me when it comes to Christian is his cross-court passing. You know, when he is doubled up in the paint or he's doubled up on the perimeter, being able to not only make the accurate read, but make the accurate pass. pass. And I think he's getting there as he gets more reps, as the defense continue to put pressure on him and focus on him. But that is his next level as a playmaker at that big position, being able to not only make that read, but make that accurate.
That's actually something that we're going to talk about a little bit later on in our third segment, is we want to figure out if we could pick one singular area of improvement for each of the big three of the Rockets' young core, Christian Wood, Kevin Porter Jr., and Jae'Sean Tate, areas that we would like to see them improve upon.
KJ Martin. KJ Martin.
Hey! Are you which one of those three are you subbing out? Because KJ Martin is the fourth wheel in that quartet. All right. Is anybody here putting KJ Martin above one of the other three? So when I reference the Rockets' young core, it's the four. I agree, KJ Martin's in there, but I'm just talking about the three right now. Okay.
Fine.
All right. Hey. I'm a big KJ Martin fan. All right. Don't come for my wig like that. All right, Alicon. But that's actually as good a spot as any, because we were just talking about Christian Wood and his progress, but that actually brings us to our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week, which is none other than Christian Wood. Over the last week, he's played four games, and he's averaging 22 points, 8.8 rebounds, and 2.3 assists on 57% shooting and 43% from distance. Numbers almost better than Michelob Ultra, only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Christian Wood is slowly but surely getting back to his pre-injury form, and having the big man back in the Rockets lineup alongside his Twin Tower partner Kelly Olynyk has been a joy to watch. At the end of the day, it's only worth it if you enjoy it, so why not enjoy a Michelob Ultra while Christian Wood continues to terrorize opposing bigs who can't keep up with him off the bounce? Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? Christian Wood's play has been one of the saving graces of this lowly Rockets season, and he's definitely turned it up a notch these past few games, and that's why he is your Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting, of course, with The Athletic's Alicon Bijani. The area that we want to dive into next, which is the other side of the Christian Wood Kelly Olynyk tandem, but as well as just some issues that the team by and large are facing, is some of the defensive woes that we've seen out of the Rockets. And I guess we can start first, right, Alicon, with the Christian Wood Kelly Olynyk side of things defensively, but then we can kind of transition more so into the entire team and some of the problems they've been facing, especially like in transition defense has been a really sore spot for this Rockets team as of late. But like I mentioned earlier, one of the things that I've noticed so far between Kelly Olynyk and Christian Wood is the issues that they're having switching right on the perimeter when they're faced with, you know, defending smaller players. We saw in the Golden State Warriors game, they really, really struggled. After Wiseman went out and the Warriors essentially ran small for much of the game, Olynyk and Wood really struggled in that one. And, you know, I wonder if, I guess the way that I view it is similarly to Rockets small ball a season ago, is you had to make it so that the matchup advantage was going to be in your favor. So even though the Rockets played small with PJ Tucker at the five spot, playing five out and being able to let James Harden and Russell Westbrook, you know, have whatever they wanted, have the open pathways to the basket, all of that was their matchup advantage. And they thought that that gave them an advantage over competition, even opposing teams that were hammering the glass and, you know, out rebounding the Rockets by 15, 20 plus on a nightly basis. So do Kelly Olynyk and Christian Wood, in your eyes, at least so far, provide enough of a mismatch advantage having two bigs on the floor when you're faced with a smaller team, like say the Warriors the other night, or other teams that, you know, run a bit of a smaller brand of basketball?
Okay. So I'm going to drop some stats on my guys in the chat and here joining us today. The Kelly Olynyk Christian Wood two-man lineup pairing has played 173 minutes together. Offensive rating of 110.2, which is pretty good, 110.2. A defensive rating of 120.1. That's a negative 9.8 net rating. Now, when you're looking at, you know what, okay, let's figure out, you know, how are they useful defensively in terms of rebounding? Well, you know, they have, you know, 80%, you know, defensive rebounding percentage, which is not bad. It's pretty good. But when you're giving up 120, you know, as your defensive rating, clearly there is some sort of underlying issue that exists. And I think for me, when I look at that lineup, the issue for me is their switching. or not switch, more so how they're defending against switches. And Steven Salz has talked to us about this. When you are playing as a too big lineup and you're playing against teams that will go smaller, play five out, let's go back to that Golden State Warriors game a couple days ago. You have Kelly Olynyk and Christian Wood, who are both natural helpers. And whenever you're switching, it's about staying at home as much as possible. And that's kind of the opposite thing that a natural helper as a bigger guy wants to do. But when you are playing in this Rockets defense, you have to maintain the ability to switch, stay home, and help only as much as necessary, you know, so that you're not allowing these extra helps, these extra rotations, unnecessary rotations for happening. Now, whenever they do switch on to a smaller player, it's about containing penetration. Can you stay in front of your man? And as soon as the one initial daybreak comes, that's when that natural help comes over, puts the Rockets in a scramble. And then we saw what happened against Phoenix in that first half, where their rotations are just a step too late because they're not communicating early enough. When they communicate early, when they attack in a situation onto a three-point shooter, where they're not only attacking hard to, you know, make them attack the closeout, but also take away the pass to the middle of the floor, you're putting your defense in a prime optimal situation to rotate and take away the easy shots. The Rockets have not done that consistently enough. And whenever they are playing this two big man lineup, when they're switching, it just makes it even tougher to do just with the personnel available.
And seeing as how this team, because I wanted to pull it up just to see just how far off they've fallen, because there was a point in time where this team was the second rated defense in the NBA and things were looking like this team was developing, you know, somewhat of a defensive identity or a defense first identity. And I wonder, you know, especially with running a pair of bigs like Olynyk and Wood, part of it is, I think that we've seen, and this is something that we've highlighted before, is that we've seen Christian Wood, he's maybe not a step slower, but just not moving quite as well as he was pre-injury, maybe getting used to the high top shoes, not quite as explosive. We saw a stretch of games where he hadn't blocked a single shot for like four or five games in a row. But I wonder, obviously Victor Oladipo was quite a polarizing presence here in Houston, but defensively, having, you know, having some point of attack guards in, or guys who could defend the point of attack in John Wall, Victor Oladipo, Eric Gordon, who has been sorely missed since the third game of the post All-Star break season. Missing those guys has definitely kind of compounded this issue for the team defensively, right? So if they had a better front line, better point of attack defenders, then maybe this duo wouldn't be struggling as much. And that kind of moves the conversation away from the switching aspect and just in general, the defensive struggles of this team, right?
Yeah. And I think your question goes into what also in our chat, Ali Kamal is saying, he asked, how do you think, you know, based on what we just talked about, how do you think they should defend those high pick and rolls? Because both Olynyk and Wood want to help on defense. That's a great question. I think when you're looking at it, it's first and foremost, whenever you're playing any sort of defensive principle or defensive coverage, you need to have a way to stay in front of your man. I think the Rockets just sometimes just do a poor job of just playing in their stance and staying in front of their man defensively, and that creates all these issues. Now, I know fans may disagree with me on this, but it's true. The Rockets have a multitude of defensive coverages. They have a lot of pick and roll coverages. They have a lot of help assignments. They have a lot of different things for teaching these young players how to do and how to communicate when a certain situation is going on, who to help, where to come from, you know, how long you should stay there, how long you should stunt. All these things these Rockets players are learning, and this Rockets defensive coaching staff is actually phenomenal. I think they are a great staff. It's going to take time for these players to get in sync and learn. That's why you're seeing Silas and the coaching staff stick with these lineups, have them continue to learn. It's still a 8-game sample size. It's not large enough for you to say, oh, it's never going to work. They're still learning how to play together, not only offensively, but defensively. Offensively, you're seeing it come together. Defensively, you're seeing it come together in stretches. Now it's going to be important for the way this defense is set up, as everybody is really a proponent of the coverage, to come together and everybody play a consistent 48 minutes for them to be successful. They ideally will continue to mix in blitzes with this starting unit because of how that propensity to help and be able to play two bigs who can kind of cover high enough ground around the paint You're going to see continued blitzing on the pick and roll ball handler. Yesterday, or against Phoenix, it was Devin Booker. Against the Golden State Warriors, it's Steph Curry. You said a little bit against Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. You're going to see that against the better perimeter shooters and players, that blitzing. It's going to be about, can the Rockets rotate effectively, not only to that pass to the middle, but also can they tag and get back to those corner shooters, rotate hard, not only get them off the line, but also take away that pass in the middle, which opens up a lot of other things for the offense.
And in that, when you're talking about those rotations, that's where kind of some of the communication obviously comes in, but some of the struggles or the youthfulness of the other guys on the roster steps in. Because if you're specifically talking about Christian Wood and Kelly Olynyk being in a high pick and roll situation and choosing to blitz the high pick and roll, then it's up to the other three guys left, you know, in the back line to read how the offense reacts to that properly, right? And make the right decision, cover the right man, run the guys off the three-point line, which is something that we didn't see them doing against the Phoenix Suns. We saw them kind of lackadaisically closing out. You know, they'd run out, right? They'd get, you know, a hand in the face of a shooter, but they weren't running those guys off the three-point line, which is essentially what they want to do defensively. They can't be giving up these wide-open threes due to blown defensive rotations. Otherwise, they're not going to give themselves a chance to win.
Yeah, and you know, it's not just even about that too. Like I said, it's not just about Olynyk and Wood. It's also about everybody else being on a string. That's a very common term that coaches use around the league, being on a string. Because if one guy steps up and kind of pushes a string towards a certain direction, there has to be somebody else that balances the string from the opposite end. And that's not happening in certain situations where if there is a switch and there's an easy blow by, like we talked about, kind of saying in front of your man. But even if that happens, everybody has to be willing to react fast, communicate fast and say, oh, hey, I'm low. Oh, hey, this is ice. You know, just being able to communicate. That's the thing, you know. And you know, I've noticed Christian being much better than he was earlier this season at calling out coverages. But now when you add a second big into it, you're adding new players, it's going to take time. Right? I'm just preaching patience here because I think the Rockets will figure it out. They have a great defensive coaching staff. In my opinion, they're doing a lot of great things in terms of what they want to do. It's just going to take time for the sample size to continue to come to fruition.
Something that we had heard of previously, right, was PJ Tucker and how vocal he was defensively for the Rockets, how he was essentially quarterbacking the defense a lot of times for the Rockets. Does that vocal job or role often just fall to the guy who is slotted in at the five spot because that person's, you know, just so happens to be in position, usually at least on the court, to be able to call things out for everybody else? Or is there somebody else, you know, in this Rockets five-man lineup, we'll just say the starters just to keep it consistent, you know, Wall, KPJ, Tate, Wood, Olynyk, is there somebody, like, who is the quarterback of this Rockets defense, or is it more so a collaborative group effort than it was previously with PJ Tucker being really that vocal anchor for the defense?
I definitely agree with your second point. It is a collaborative effort. I will say, though, it just really depends on the assignment. As the big, you are not only responsible for the pick and roll coverage, but you're responsible for calling out the help side coverages too. If it's an isolation, if it's ice, if it's blue, it kind of gets the weak side ready to go in terms of what's going to happen. I think there are a lot of people on this Rockets team in that starting unit, especially when Daniel House is playing, who communicate. Daniel House is a very good communicator. Jayshon Tate is a very good communicator. Those guys are very important, not only for that, but also communicating who's going to cut inside to get the defensive rebound. You're missing some of those things when Daniel House is not in there. Jayshon Tate is growing into that kind of presence too, and he's just a terrific on-ball defender and outside defender as well. So you know, it is a collaborative effort, but it does come down to, especially that big, and Wood being more vocal, establishing that front court presence in the paint, because what he does and what he says is what allows those perimeter guys on the weak side to be able to decide what they're going to do.
All right, coming up, Ali Khan and I are going to tackle the areas of improvement for Christian Wood, Kevin Porter Jr., and Jayshon Tate after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Now, look, if you've never had a protein bar that you actually enjoy, you need to check out Built Bar. They have so many amazing, delicious flavors. Salted caramel, mint chocolate brownie, coconut brownie chunk, my personal favorite. You really can't go wrong with any one of these flavors on their menu. They're low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing for a keto diet. And you can check them out at BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED 15 and you'll get 15% off your very next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Another message from our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but we've got NBA basketball still in full swing. Playoffs right around the corner. Not for the Rockets, unfortunately, probably. NHL is also going strong, and MLB just started up. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's totally free to sign up. So head over to the website and sign up today using promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And our final segment here at Locked On Rockets, chatting with Ali Khanbijani of The Athletic. Now, Ali Khan, the area that I wanted to wrap this show up with, and we'll get some, I want some input from our wonderful audience as well, because the areas for improvement for Christian Wood, Kevin Porter, you know what we'll do, because I feel bad because you called me out earlier. We'll talk about areas of improvement for the singular, like the area that we want to see improve most. So we're going to only pick one category for Wood, KPJ, Tate, and KJ Martin. All right. So we're going to include KJ Martin in here because I got a lot of flack for not including him. So I apologize. I didn't realize you were such a KJ Martin stan. But I want to hear from the chat. I want to see guys in the chat. Where can you guys? All right. Why is the chat talking about my pronunciation of caramel? Caramel? Do y'all want me to say caramel? Is that it? Caramel? No, it's caramel. Y'all are ridiculous. No, I'm not even going to hear it. Thank you, Malik, for helping me out. Caramel. There we go. Yeah. Thank you so much. Now I don't even know. Alex, what's up? Appreciate you. Yeah. You know what? We're derailing. I knew this was going to happen. We're going to derail in the third segment. We always derail in the third segment. It's what happens. But the chat's focused on my pronunciation of different words instead of the topic at hand. So Ali Khan, I'm going to throw it to you. Let's start Christian Wood first. What singular area of improvement do you or are you looking for most out of Christian Wood just as this season progresses and the area that potentially, you know, you want to see him spend some time in this offseason to really shore up coming back into next season?
He is great at observing content and still finishing, but I think that's still going to come with his ankle strength. I think overall strength, but particularly ankle strength and also just ability to handle his own in the post. You're seeing teams run actions for their bigs early on in games because they want to attack Christian Wood in the post and see if he can hold his own early on. And if he can't, obviously the Rockets will have to make adjustments on taking him out of the paint or bringing a secondary defender in, and that kind of just creates a lot of opportunities for the opposing team. That's going to be a big thing for me moving forward. I've asked him about it too. He understands he needs to get better on being able to handle his own in the post and in the paint. So that's definitely a big area for me to see.
Is it weird that, like, mine for Christian Wood is I really would like for him to have a more of a go-to move? Like just it doesn't have to be anything as, you know, deadly as a James Harden step back three or something, but I just feel like he consistently has to work so hard for his offense. And
I think he does, though. But that's the issue. Does he?
So, like, what's his go-to move? Is it catching it off the bounce and driving it in? Or, like, is it the motor that he does after absorbing contact?
Honestly, Jackson, you said that's exactly it. He likes to use his right shoulder, push with the right shoulder, and get up a shot. Now, where that's going to come from, that is observing the content and kind of falling back to create space, but pushing, observing the content, and going through the defender, right? That's going to be his next step then.
Okay. All right. So he's got like the beginnings of a go-to move.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That's a better way to phrase it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like that then. That's fair. Then I want to see him get better at that so that it can be like his go-to, like when he needs a bucket, like guaranteed that's the move that he's going to go to, you know, but you know, it'd also be cool if he like, you know, rolled in a drop step fadeaway or something. I don't know. Anyways. So let's go KPJ next. Where do you have your eyes set on what Kevin Porter Jr. has to improve upon moving forward?
Yeah.
And hang on. I already see one word in the chat. And I want to push back on this a little bit. People are going to say Kevin Porter Jr.'s jump shot, right? They're going to say they want to see him get better with his outside shot. I think that there's a possibility that, look, this Kevin Porter Jr. had almost like a year off from basketball, right? And then he got immediately thrust into the G League bubble and was immediately playing, you know, full heavy minutes, a heavy workload to try and get up to speed, get his body up to speed and in shape so that he could then join the Rockets for the second half of the season. I think there's a legit possibility that he just doesn't quite have his legs under him and his conditioning might not be exactly where it needs to be after a year off from basketball. I know he's a 20-year-old kid. I know his conditioning should be fine. And it's not like he just sat on the couch for a year. But a lot of his three-pointers miss short. Like, and it looks like it might be like a leg issue. Like he's not either getting enough legs under him or what. But I don't think it's necessarily a technical thing that he has to fix. He's got a great-looking jumper. So I don't think that's the issue. So I just want to preface with that because I already saw that in the chat.
You know, I think he answered this question either yesterday or a few games ago post-game. Somebody asked him about his shot. And he's like, you know, I'm just going to continue to keep shooting. And the more I shoot during games, the more I shoot during practice and stuff, the better he'll get. I think it's as simple as that. John Lucas is working with each of these young guys. You've seen the dividends he's paid for with Jayshon Tate. You've seen the dividends he's paid for with KJ Martin. He's going to continue to work with Kevin Porter Jr. I think that's not talked about enough, John Lucas's job, not only defensively, what he's doing with the coaching staff, but also just how he's done with player development with his younger guys. You're going to see, continue to see big steps. These reads that Kevin Porter Jr. is making, when we talked about this 2-3 weeks ago, Jackson, I was telling you how, you know, he's very predictable when he drives to the rim. We've seen a change in that. He's, you know, been a little bit better about kind of making sure he is more versatile in his reads. And he keeps the defense off balance, so that's not only with his pace, with, you know, his ability to kind of slash through, but also just methodically match the roller's rhythm and get the pass to the roller. He's done an excellent job, you know, over these last few weeks, and I think that's a lot of credit passed not only to Steven Silas, but John Lucas as well.
I hear you on that. John Lucas's efforts can't be understated, right? Hearing about the impacts that he's had for a multitude of different players over the course of his career, not just, you know, Rocket-centric, but just around the NBA, he's a guy that, you know, people go to seek counsel and to seek advice from. He's well regarded in many different circles around the NBA. So the Rockets being able to kind of have him in-house and help, you know, Kevin Porter Jr., not just from a basketball standpoint, but obviously from like an off the court standpoint, you know, getting his head on his shoulders right was definitely something that they kind of banked on when they traded for Kevin Porter Jr. in the first place. And so it's exciting that that's, you know, at least that relationship is blossoming there. All right, let's go to Jayshon Tate. We're going in order, which means KJ Martin's going in last. I'm sorry. But let's go Jayshon Tate. To me, the standout so far has been, and this is kind of just one of the things that, you know, he's not, he's technically a rookie, but he doesn't play like a rookie. Obviously, he's got the overseas experience and everything, but he struggles with foul trouble. He really does. And that's the area that, you know, for a defender as aggressive as he is, I think that's his next step is learning how to still maintain that level of aggressiveness, but do it without fouling and without, you know, picking up those early ticky-tack fouls because he's being too aggressive defensively.
I think that is his next step, right? And we talked about this, I think, last week or 2 weeks prior. You know, what will vault him into an all-NBA first-team type of player? And that's just going to come with the ability to make better decisions, especially on the ball. Not only kind of stymieing and staying in front of his guys, but also deterring passes, deterring, those easy fouls that he can call for. Defensive double B is next step. I think for him, it's going to come down to offensively hitting a corner three at a more consistent rate. Jayshon has definitely found a rhythm with his team. He has the full and complete trust of Steven Silas and his coaching staff. It's just the next step for him is continue to be more consistent on his 3-point shot and just being able to become a better overall defensive player. But he's been fantastic for them. I mean, if I had to say rookie of the year right now for the Rockets, I know a lot of people want to give it Kevin Porter Jr., but Jayshon Tate not only has been probably the rookie of the year for the team, but he's been one of their best players this season as well. And that kind of shows how much he's grown just in a short amount of time, but how much better he can get over time as well.
I think you could maybe make an argument that he's been the second best player for the Rockets this season, at least if not the second most consistent player easily, or well, maybe even just the most consistent player overall since being injected in the starting lineup. I mean, he's been the one steadying force for this Rockets team. If I'm not mistaken, he's played every single game this season, hasn't he? I think he has.
I think he's played the most games. I'm not sure if he's played every game. I will get an answer for you in the next 5 to 10 seconds, but he definitely is somebody who is consistent. He's very durable. Actually, yes, he's the only Rockets to have a pretty all 54 games this season. So yeah, he is very durable for them. And I think just some of the stats that he's been able to put up in his short time, he's the only player, I think since Steve Francis, I believe, that has played this many minutes through the course of the season. He's averaging almost 30 minutes a game. He started 42 games this season, third most starts by a rookie since Yao Ming and Chandler Parsons. I mean, just some of the numbers he's putting up with other rookies at where they were at you know, at their point in their careers as rookies, it's just insane. Like, he's putting numbers that other rookies like Ben Simmons, Chris Paul, Carmelo.
I want to know what Bill Simmons' rookie numbers are, damn it.
That's great. No, but he's just – I think he's just been such a great find for them that, you know, it's just – for him, it's going to be a lot becoming more consistent, being smarter, and being able to just stay on the floor and knock down shots.
All right. Well, then that brings us to our final guy. Before I derail this final segment with a surprise topic that I have for you, let's talk KJ Martin. Where do you want to see him improve? Which you said in the chat earlier, so I'm going to echo this right here for our podcast listeners. Ali Khanbijani thinks that KJ Martin is the most improved player for the Rockets this season. And I actually agree. I said as much, I think, a couple episodes ago. He has been the most improved player from where he started to where he currently is for the Rockets this year. He's made the most progress this season. And the coaching staff believes that as well.
Yeah, and me saying that just really echoes more so what Steven Silas talked about a few days ago, where he has been that player for them as well. It's kind of where he was to start the season, what's now. Steven Silas said that, I think so as well. He was raw, and you want to make sure you kind of put him into a situation and a role where he can excel. He definitely has. He's talked about he wants to grow as a player who's energy guy off the bench, not just playing great defense, but knocking down the open shot. For him, where he's continued to work on with John Lucas and where he's going to continue to get better is his ability, is his ball handling ability, his open shot making. He is shooting a better percentage than I thought he would at this point in his career. His shot looks better. They're working on it mechanically. He's getting up more shots. His confidence is going. I think for a younger player, confidence is key. If you're putting up shots and you continue to do so when you're open at a high clip, you're going to knock down shots just because that confidence is there. And then also with his ball handling, teams are going to give him space. And with his athleticism, it's really important for him to slip, to jump, to be able to attack close that's effectively. And he's been able to do it as well. So just overall, his offensive game, I think, is going to see a big, big jump heading into summer league, if they do have summer league, and also into next season. If he does have summer league, I'm going to be curious to see kind of what he spends these next 2 months on putting together after the season is done. But I definitely expect a big offensive jump for KJ Martin next season. He's just such a great player in terms of his raw talents that he's definitely going to have a chance to do.
So I was also going to say ball handling, which I feel like is kind of a cop-out when I have to give my answer after you, because people know you're smarter than me when it comes to basketball. So now it just sounds like I'm copying you. But that was going to be my answer, because I want to see, because you're right, it's the athleticism, right? Seeing how crazy some of his finishes are, he just needs to be able to get from point A to B a little bit better, a little bit more fluidly. And if he can work on his ball handling ability and be able to, you know, incorporate some crossovers, be able to, right, get to the rim himself without having to rely on just that first step, if he can be a little bit crazy, creative about getting there, then his ability to finish, we already know he's a great finisher. So
you know what's interesting to me, Jackson, is they're playing him in minutes alongside two other bigs, and that's showing me that they're trying to see, can he mold himself into a hybrid 3 or 4, and somebody who could possibly play the 5, I think, but more so into a hybrid 3 and 4. A great comparison to that in terms of that role, playing with two bigs and excelling, is a guy, and who the Denver Nuggets, I think, are trying to do so more with, is Aaron Gordon. And then you're playing with Jokic, you're playing with Paul Millsap or MPJ, and then you also have Aaron Gordon as well, the hybrid 3 or 4 role. I think for a guy like KJ Martin, he is athletic enough to be a perimeter 3-and-D type of player, but he's also so long and so athletic where he can be a weak side shot blocker and big as well. So he has that great hybrid ability that I'm eager to see how they continue to use him. Keep an eye out on those lineups. You're not going to stop seeing Olynyk and Wood pairing, but keep an eye out on how Steven Silas enters and uses KJ Martin in offensively. Maybe we'll talk about that in the next few weeks, but look at how he's using him offensively, especially when he's playing with two other bigs.
I want to drop in one more here. Not an ad. Sorry. I teed that up like it was an ad read. That's awful. Anyways, I don't want to give him any PTSD for another ad read. But you talk about KJ Martin being that, you know, a potential combo 3-4 or them kind of experimenting and seeing if that's a role that he can fulfill. How do you view Jayshon Tate? Is he also like, is he an undersized 4? Is he a 3? Because I think he's the 3 of the Rockets moving forward. I don't think he's the 4 of the future. A lot of people want to make the P.J. Tucker comps, the P.J. Tucker comparisons, and obviously P.J. Tucker played the 4 spot for the Rockets before being thrust into playing small ball 5. So what do you view Jayshon Tate as, or what do you think his position of the future is going to be?
Tate is such a great offensive rebounder, defensive rebounder, that I do think that he's going to be definitely the 3 of the future. I do even see him as the 4 and playing Daniel House Jr. I don't think Daniel House Jr. is going anywhere. He's such a useful, and athletic piece for this team that he's such a great fit overall for that starting lineup. He's such a great glue guy for any starting lineup the Rockets may have. When it comes down to it, Jayshon, I think you can put him anywhere. He's going to be able to bring the ball up the floor. He's going to be able to knock down shots. The thing with Steven Silas, and he's talked about this a lot, if you guys are not listening to his press conferences, when he's worked with Don Nelson told him that, you know, a fast break can start with any player rebounding the basketball. Whenever you have Christian Wood or Jayshon Tate rebounding the basketball, what's the biggest thing you see? They're not only bringing the ball up the floor, but they're also able to not get past their defenders who they got the rebound against, and make 1, 2, 3 dribbles on the court and pass it up to a guard. Those are skills that take time to develop, but Jayshon and Christian Wood already have those as well. So you can play him essentially in any position you want to because of that ability. And then he also, on top of that, he's a great screener. He's becoming a primary screener for them, especially in situations where Olynyk and Wood are not playing. He may be in a lineup off the bench. He becomes that primary screener for them. So, you know, offensively, I think he is a 3 for them, but I think defensively, he's a 4. So I don't know what exact position he would be, but I think also in that similar situation, a hybrid 3 or 4 role, and sometimes a 5 in certain situations with the switching.
All right. Well, we've got one more topic here, as well as a speaker request. But that being said, and I don't even have like this part written down, so I'm freeballing it here. What we're doing now, though, and what we're going to do for the future of these locker room episodes is we're going to wrap up the podcast portion of this show right now. But we're going to keep it going for about another 10-15 minutes here in the locker room, just talking about whatever topics come up. And this is because we want you to be able to join us live for these shows. So for the podcast portion of this episode, that is going to do it for today. But if you're in the locker room, do not sign off. Stick around. We're gonna keep talking. But for today's show, that is going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.